Father, we thank you for your hand upon the meeting already, for the singing of your praise, for the offering up of prayer, for Helen that sang. Now, Lord, as this child takes up the word of God, Lord, I confess tonight I am a nobody, I am a nothing. Father, take this nobody up tonight, take this nothing, and use them mightily for your honor and glory. Father, I realize tonight you must increase, I must decrease. Tonight, Master, help me to uplift and glorify the mighty God of heaven. Hide me behind the cross, that the Lamb would have all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Save sinners tonight. Restore backsliders. Encourage your saints. Lord Jesus, take all the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in your great name's sake we ask it. Amen and amen. You know, when you study the four Gospels, I am amazed at the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ in his teaching and in his preaching. So often the Lord brings out creation in a sermon to bring out a strong spiritual point, or to lead someone to himself, or show some needy lost sinner his great need of salvation. I thought of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ one day as the people gathered around his feet. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere where to lay his head." What the Savior was pointing out to these people was, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a follower of mine, if you want to be a disciple for mine, let me tell you, it's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. There's many thorns in the way. The road to heaven isn't strewed with rose petals. And the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to these people, if you want to be saved, if you want to trust me as Savior, it's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ used the foxes to have holes and the birds of the air to have nests. But the Master turned to them and he said, "But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Is it not true, Christian? It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven, but it's a blessed road. We wouldn't change it for all the gold and the silver of this old world. The Lord Jesus Christ was pointing out to the people was that as a Christian, you will have to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a soldier for him, you're going out into war. You're going out into a battle. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's why the Christian life is a hard life, because you're fighting against the devil himself. And that's why the child of God needs to lead a holy and a close life to him. Another occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ was walking down the road with his disciples one day. The Lord Jesus Christ looked into a field of wheat, a harvest field. It was a vast field. The harvest was ripe, ready for the picking. But as the Master looked into that harvest field, he saw there was only a few in the harvest field trying to bring in the sheaves, and it seems as it were that they were flogging a dead horse. The Master turned to his disciples and he said unto them, and two brethren actually prayed this in the prayer meeting tonight, referring, the Lord Jesus was referring to this old world. And the Lord Jesus said, "Look ye upon the harvest, for they are ripe, ready for the picking, but the laborers are few." That's a tragedy in God's work today. So many Christians, and yet so few want to do a work for the Lord. What the Master was saying, do you see that field of wheat? It's ripe, it's perfect, it's ready for the reaping. But you know, if that harvest field is not brought in, it'll be go rotten, it'll go black, it'll be lost. And the Lord was saying, look upon this world. Men and women are lost in sin. They're going to a lost, Christless eternity. But very few want to be involved in the work of God. Over these past weeks, I've heard the plea go out for bus drivers, could you do that? I've heard the plea for the morning Sunday school, the afternoon Sunday school, could you do something there? Has God given you a gift, a talent that you can use for Him? Oh, I know that this is a gospel message, but whenever I was penning that over this past week, I didn't realize the significance of Christ in the harvest field. Is there laborers for Him in this house tonight? Child of God, the fields are white, are ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. We read here in Mark chapter 12, we read of a scribe, and he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm so often in the Word of God, when men and women come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they either one or two things happen. It either draws them closer to the Savior and to trust Him, or else they walk away and they say, "We will not have this man to rule over us." Here is this scribe, and he heard the Lord Jesus Christ preaching it. He was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by Him. He was teaching the people, He is the only way to heaven. He is the door. He is the way. He is the only way to get to heaven and to home. And this scribe was listening to this attentively. And I believe in this man's heart, with all his religion, with all his Jewish religion, he had all the rites and rituals of the Jewish church. He was a scribe, but no problem at times. He was preaching the word, preaching about the coming Messiah. But in all this man's religion, he realized there was something missing in his heart. He realized that with all my religion, with all my good works, all my praying, all my reading the Old Testament scriptures, there's something missing in my life. And the only one that can help me, the only one that can reach down and save me, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he comes face to face with the Lord, and they discuss the Word of God and God's so great salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." He only had to take that step and trust Him as his own and personal Savior, and there he would get saved and stop trusting in religion, and by faith in Christ alone, get gloriously, get wonderfully saved. Perhaps in this meeting tonight, and you have come in and you've sat down here, and you have maybe been in a gospel meeting, and you heard the Word of God preached, and you come under deep conviction of sin, and maybe you've read a gospel tract, and maybe some brother or sister had witnessed to you about the things of God. And there's times you almost took that step for Jesus. There was times when you almost said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today. Come in this day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And we could say to you here tonight in this gospel meeting, or someone tuned in around the world in the internet, and we could say to you, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But you know, dear one in a meeting, it's so easy to be not far from the kingdom of God and lost. There's men and women in hell tonight. They've been in gospel meetings, read a gospel tract. Someone witnessed to them. They were under conviction of sin, and they weren't far from the kingdom of God. And they didn't take that step for Jesus. And they went out into hell for all eternity. What a tragedy it is when a man or a woman or a young person reject God's offer of mercy, to realize too late when they're burning in the caverns of the damned, oh, I wish I had taken Christ as my own and personal Savior. God drew my thoughts back this week. You needn't look it up. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 26, Paul was in prison for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Governor Felix was the ruler of the land. He sent for Paul from the prison cell, and he heard Paul preach the gospel of redeeming grace. He heard Paul saying that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He heard Paul telling him he must be born again. He must be saved. He must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. That salvation is in faith in Christ alone, by blood alone. And the Word of God says that Governor Felix came under conviction of sin. But you know, time after time, this man, Governor Felix, he sent for Paul, and Paul never changed his message to the poorest of the land, to the kings and governors. And again, he preached again to Governor Felix. And I believe with tears in his eyes, shaken under conviction of sin, realizing he needs to be saved, he uttered these tragic words, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. He didn't say, Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll send for you to lead me to Christ. But he says, when I have a more convenient season, what he was saying, Paul, when it suits me to get saved, I'll get saved. But you know, dear one, in the meeting and listening in the outside broadcast here, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not tonight, it's not tomorrow, it's not next week. Tonight, in this meeting, wherever you are, you must prepare to meet your God. Some years ago, up the country, it was in the dead of winter, and a man was having a gospel mission in a wee hall for 2 weeks. There was an unsaved man came to that mission night after night for the first week. He heard the faithful preaching of the gospel. Night after night, he came under great conviction of sin. And he was broken. He went every night the second week and heard the same message. Every night, salvation is of the Lord. He was there for the very last night of the mission, tears in his eyes, trembling under conviction of sin. And while they were in the meeting, there had been a fall of snow. The two men, he walked out with this other man who was a Christian, and as they were talking, they left the door open. As they were walking over to their cars, the wind caught the door with an unmerciful bang. That man who wasn't saved, he jumped. And he said to this Christian man, What happened? What's that? He says, the door of the gospel meeting is closed for the very last time. And that man realized at that moment the Spirit of God stops striving with him for all eternity. And he realized all the days of his life, I missed my opportunity to be saved. And night after night he went to bed knowing that someday I'm going to be in hell for all eternity. And I want to say to you tonight, be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus called you, be in time. For if in sin you longer wait, you'll find the open gate and your cry be just too late. Be in time. You come to Jesus tonight. He throws his arms out and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wherever you are tonight in this house, maybe in the website, and you've just happened to tune in, the Lord Jesus Christ can save to the uttermost all that comes unto God by you. But then there was another man, you all know him well, in Acts 26 and verse 28. This time we have a king, King Agrippa. Paul was still in prison. Agrippa sent to hear Paul because he wanted to know what made Paul tick. What about this man, Paul? He spent years in prison. He won't stop preaching the gospel. I'll have to find out more about this man. Do you ever hear curiosity killed the cat? And he sent for Paul. And Paul was brought in before King Agrippa. His hands and his feet were bound with chains. But you know, his heart was free. He had Christ in his heart. And you know, Paul started to witness to King Agrippa about his soul. Told him his need of Jesus Christ. He told him how he met the Lord Jesus Christ in the Damascus Road. He said, I was an evil man. I murdered Christians. I put them to death. I beat up many Christians nigh to death. He said, I was the chief of sinners, rotten to the core, vile, evil, as wicked a man as you will find in this earth. Oh, but he says, King Agrippa, I met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and I heard that cry, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I saw a light brighter than the sun, and there that day on my knees on the Damascus Road, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart to be my own personal Savior. And you can hear the clank of the chains as Paul witnessed to King Agrippa. Again, King Agrippa came under conviction of sin. And he turned round to Paul. And these are tragic words. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul, I'm almost saved. I'm almost converted to Christ, but Paul, I can't do it. I've far too much to give up. If I get saved, if I become a Christian, I maybe have to stand down from the kingship here. I might have to do something else. Paul, as I weigh this sum up in my head, Paul, it's too big of a risk for me to take. As I thought of that, I thought of that verse of Scripture. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me ask you tonight, what's holding you back from Jesus? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it workmates? Is it position and work? What's holding you back from Jesus tonight? I was saved on the 14th of August, 1967. If you had knew me then, I was rotten. I had a mouth like a sewer. Drinker, gambler, smoker, and all the rest of it. And through Brother Jimmy Owens, a next door neighbor witnessing me in my home, I get home that night. Where they tell you, my breath was stinking of cigarette smoke. And I get down on my knees, wasn't too sure what to pray, but Jimmy told me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I called that night. The twinkling of an eye, became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Hallelujah, all things became new. And the word got around my house in a state like wildfire. Hear about Davidson? He's got religion. No, I got God's so great salvation. And I had it all. Those fellas I drank with and danced with. A lot thinner in those days, I was able to do it. Those fellas I went to the pub with, and the card school one says, give you a week, Davidson. One fella gave me a month, another fella was very good, he gave me 6 months. But that's over 40 years ago. You know something? I have failed the Lord many times. He's never failed me once. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And let me tell you here tonight, if you get saved, the Lord will look after you and look after your family and bring them in one by one. For years, my daddy was a backslider. And God, I'm not boasting myself here, it's all of Jesus. I prayed for him and he came back to the Lord. My mommy got saved. You know, if you get saved, you could see your family one for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, has there someone drifted into this meeting tonight? I can't see everybody here. Or maybe there's someone listening in the internet and your life is wrecked. Your life is destroyed by sin. Your family's broke up. Maybe you lost your business. Maybe you're caught up with a drink, caught up with the drugs, caught up with gambling and the wicked things and the evil things of this world, and you feel like someone who cried out to the Scriptures, "No man cares for my soul," and you're down, as far down as you can go, let me tell you, Jesus can reach down and lift you out of the guttermost and lift you to the uttermost. You might say, "I would love to be saved. I would love that to happen in my heart." Will I tell you, if the Lord Jesus Christ could save Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the preacher, if he could save a man that was a murderer, praise God, he can save you tonight. You might say, "Well, preacher, I would love to be saved, but look at me, I'm poor. I've nothing. I'm as low and as far down as I can get." Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ can save to the uttermost all that comes unto God by him? I found this wee hymn, and I'll read this in closing. There's a line that is drawn: by rejecting our Lord, with a call of his Spirit is lost. As you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you will cross, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? I'm finished now, but if you're in this meeting and you would love to be saved, know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you remain behind while others go. Have a word with Morris that led the meeting. Have a word with myself. Even Peter here at the organ, or some other brother and sister, say, "Listen, I would love to get saved." Or maybe there's someone listening on the website, and you would maybe like literature, or you would like a Bible sent to you. All you have to do is write a letter to the Martyrs Memorial Church, Ravenhill Road, Belfast, and it'll get to us. And we will try to get you all the help that you need spiritually. May God bless these few wee thoughts for his honor and for his glory.